All right. Morning, everybody. My name's Sandy Beach, and I'm an alcoholic. It's been a wonderful weekend, and being with friends and people I've known a long time, and four people from Tampa drove up that I see all the time, and that's wonderful. I just have a lot of gratitude for the people that I've met in AA. You know, a lot of people come up and thank me and say a lot of nice things. And I appreciate it, but I want you to think about a story. There's a guy standing on the corner in the town, and a car pulls up and says, "Can you tell me where a good restaurant is?" And he said, "Yeah, let's go up there three blocks and turn left, and it's on the right." And they go up there, and the meal is so wonderful, they come back and thank him forever. "I can't believe you sent us to that restaurant. That's the most amazing restaurant. We'll never forget you. You'll be in our lives forever." Because what really happens is you come up and ask, "Where's God?" And I tell you, go up there and you turn over here and you go up there. And then something wonderful happens. So I'd love to have you come up and tell me that, not that I'm wonderful, but that God is wonderful. I'm damn good at giving directions, though. But I don't do the transforming work in your lives, and so don't make any mistake about that. I'm just trying to get the credit directed in the right direction. You know, when we get to step 12, it just wraps everything up. And for me to understand this, and if you're new, in order to understand why this whole thing works, you've got to go back to the disease of alcoholism and the punishment that it gives to the sufferers, because that's the key. Is the suffering. Because when you study William James, you see when he went out, he was going to give these lectures in Scotland on religion. And so he said, just one of these brilliant people, he could just study it and then go over and give it in two languages or three languages and go on and on. And he made a lot of careful research. And he had various feelings about organized religion and this and that. But he did say that because of the various religions, we've had some things happen that are the most precious thing that mankind has ever had. And he said, those are people who have had spiritual awakenings and have been transformed beyond where most people go spiritually. And those people are precious because they serve as signposts for the rest of us so that we can see this, that it's possible and it's real. And he goes on to point out that these awakenings, as he's researched all over the world, they only happened to people who were desperate, who had so much adversity in their lives that they had to collapse their ego a little bit so that the sunlight could get in. And this is why we have so many miracles in Alcoholics Anonymous compared to any other society in the world, because we have more desperate people here. Our sample is not normal. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so the people that arrive here are in that precious moment of desperation. And in that moment of desperation, the ego has been cracked. It doesn't crack. You can't get in. It's too strong. It's been woven together by us for our lifetime. And we just don't want to give up the package. But anyway, when someone new arrives here with that desperation, there's an opening. And something is going to be put in that opening. And it's called the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why we spend so much time becoming experts on the message, so that what you put in there gets the result that the 12th step is talking about, a profound spiritual awakening. And a little of the concern that we had last night was that this moment when a human being, this may be the only moment, is going to have an opportunity to get out of the box of self-centeredness is going to be wasted by pouring in something other than the pure message that we have. By pouring in some psychology, pour in a little of this and have it poured in by somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. So that's why we want to become experts on giving directions, so that they always get the same result, which is a reunion with their own creator. So you see that's why that moment can't be wasted. And when you have this new person, you have the chance to be the agent that leads them to a transformation that is the most precious thing. This is the most precious thing a human being can experience. It's the highest level of human experience there is to have a spiritual awakening and to be able to maintain it. So you can stay there, stay at a much higher dimension than you ever could get on your own. And the ticket in was total suffering. But you did that before you got here. So you don't need any more suffering. Now we're going to start the joyous journey. So let's end the suffering when you get here and stay open. And so I always have to make that connection, that this is the moment right here when that ego is open enough to not listen to its own advice. That's the hardest thing for human beings to do, is to go against what they think should be done and follow the instructions of their sponsor. And I talk about this, and it's my favorite sound out of a new person. I love this sound. I go, we go, and then I wait. And finally, it's like a wheel grinding. They go, okay. They're about to do something they don't think they should do. It's not what the way they think it ought to be handled. And I love when Clancy does that thing where that routine where his sponsor says, you go over and apologize to that lady. But she's a bitch. Remember that when he just said, you go over and tell her you're sorry. That's the noise. But he's going. That's the noise of an ego that is desperate. That's why that happens. Now, it's not that much longer. You get, people were talking about this earlier, that the health comes back, just physical health and just raw sobriety, and that opening starts shutting up. It starts closing down. And you can't get in there anymore because it's not an emergency. So you have to strike when the emergency is there, when the desperation is there. Otherwise, it becomes some intellectual discussion about, oh, well, yes, that's fun. Inventories, I like inventories, I like that. That's cool, but it's much better if somebody's going, I'm doing the inventory because I'm going to die if I don't. Now we're in. Now we're going to get results. And so I just bring that up, because this step discusses the result that we're supposed to get. What's the whole point of doing the step? To have a spiritual awakening, a profound change in the way we see things. I really believe, and I'm going to try and talk more about this at a retreat, but I'm starting to believe that God's will is seen. It's what you see when you open your eyes. And if you see that you should love your neighbor as yourself, you're seeing his will. You're at that level where no one has to tell you anymore. You see why these steps work. You see why forgiveness is so powerful. It's just, and you see a world that's fair. And you see a world that's not threatening, and you see all the people that are your brothers and sisters. So nobody has to tell you, treat everybody like they're your family. Because that's what you see. And that's what new pair of glasses, that's what awakenings are all about. Everything looks different. And so we can't blame, as was being said earlier, people who don't see it that way. If they get up in the morning and see that they're threatened by everyone around them and that their only way to safety is to start a fight or run or whatever, that's not their fault. It's what they see when they open their eyes. They see a threatening world. And that's what I saw. And when I drank, I saw another world. And it was a much better world. So I wanted to live there all the time. And the only way to live there all the time is to drink all the time. And a lot of us figured that out. But our bosses didn't understand. Why are you drinking on the job? I want to live in another world. They didn't get it. I was just a spiritual being trying to get to a higher level. And he was losing customers as a result. But I thought he would have seen at a higher level, but he's also limited. When that surrender is done, the program is easy. It's so simple. You just ask your sponsor, what do I do next? Well, I want you to go over to your neighbor and tell him you return the lawnmower and tell him you're sorry you stole it. Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, just do it. Okay, so So you see, you have no role to play in the management of your life when your sponsor is taking you through the steps. That's only done when you're desperate. People don't go along with that. They don't get along with somebody else telling them how to think and what to do this, do that, and here's the plan for today. They don't go along with that unless they're desperate. So this is why it's so important to go over that first step and make sure they understand the full magnitude of alcoholism, that they don't have some little drinking problem that could be cleared up by not drinking or this or that. We really have to spend a lot of time so that they're convinced that if they don't do this, something awful's going to happen. Then we're ready to proceed. So I just like to establish that groundwork, because without that, if it's not an emergency, the steps are really optional in the mind of the person taking them. It looks like it could be good. A lot of the people, yeah, this is good. This is good. And, you know, I might get somewhere. But it's not saving your life. Your house isn't on fire, you know, and this is the fire department telling you what to do. So I just stress that point, that you want to make sure that the person you're working with is desperate, if you have to help them get desperate, by re-explaining the seriousness of the situation. So then we get to this thing called the spiritual awakening, which occurs at various times in the steps. You would, if you looked at the book closely, you would, and this is where I think it happens. I think it happens when the sentence is, we suddenly realize God's doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. I think that describes an awakening pretty well. You are personally aware of God in your own life. No one told you about it. You just experienced it. So when we use the word God in AA, we're talking about an experience. Up until you have it, it's just a word. It's just a word. It has never caused any experience in your life, other than possibly a resentment because you don't like the word. And that's important to understand about AA. is that this is the God we're talking about, the God of the experience in step 12. Because when that happens to you, it's rather, even if it happens slowly over a period of time, your awareness of it is sudden. So this awakening that you suddenly realize God is doing for yourself what you couldn't do, that happens suddenly. You just go, whoa, hey, all these stuff that's been happening to me over the past 9 months, that was God. And I was just told so by God. That's what this vision, and you feel different. And then you look around and things look different. And you know that couldn't be caused by a human power. And so that's what we mean when we talk about this. Oh, and so when it happens to you, you go, gee, I wonder what caused that. 99 times out of 100, the word that people choose to use is God. So you see, they're only applying a word to an experience. So we don't have to worry. We're not connected to any particular religion or anything. It's the experience that comes because of working these steps. And then when you have that, then you can start talking about God. Up until then, it's a word. It's a theory. This is a theory that these steps are going to work. Well, why would you go along with it? Because I'm going to die if I don't. And because these people, they're just like me. I just heard their stories. They hid the booze in the back of the toilet. They threw up at work. They've been arrested. They have DWI. They're nut wards. Holy cow. And for the best of my judgment, they appear to be doing pretty well. Matter of fact, I really like what they have. And they all say they got it from God. So now I have the double edge. I got the alcohol waiting to kill me, or I'm attracted to this. So we see the two forces at work. If you really pay attention while you're in AA, you can't deny the results that you see of these steps. So with those two forces working, we are led to have this take place. Is it guaranteed, 100% guaranteed? Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. It always materializes. That's a pretty good guarantee. It's the same guarantee that booze gives. Did you ever have 10 drinks and have nothing happen? If I made booze, I'd put a guarantee on it. I'd have this bottle right here, and I'd sell it to you and say right down the bottom, if you drink this whole bottle, I guarantee you'll get drunk. Why would we guarantee that? Because we know the power of booze. And we know if it's properly consumed, it will do its work. And we know the power of God. It's unlimited. It's much more powerful than alcohol. And if we do the work, it's guaranteed. So if it hasn't happened, patience. If it hasn't happened, work harder. But don't ever think it's not going to happen. Don't ever think that you are going to be left out of having one of these experiences. And there's a big difference between a spiritual awakening and sobriety, if you look at sobriety in terms of just not drinking. So in a very literal sense, sobriety is not the name of the game. Spiritual awakenings are. Transformations are the name of this game. It's a spiritual game. You can get sobriety by punching a cop. You could get probably 90 days sobriety just like that. So, but it won't transform your life. And you'll want to get unsober as soon as you get out. In the 12 and 12, it's in the beginning of describing this, it really makes an interesting comment on everything that I just said. They simplified it into about two sentences. And it says, having had a spiritual awakening about which there is no doubt. I just love that they put that in. About there is no doubt. No, it's not indigestion. It's a spiritual awakening. This is real. We look at those coming behind us. And we know because of our vast experience that the man who still calls his home group his higher power and who still hasn't got the spiritual angle will presently come to know and love God and call him by name. And nobody told him to call him anything. We just know when this happens to you, you're going to realize that everything we've been talking about in here is true for you. Until it's true for you, it's not true. You may hope it's true. You may have some faith that it's true. But until it happens to you, it's not a fact yet. And so when I first felt the presence of God of this magnitude, I had what I think page 25 talks about, the absolute certainty that our Creator had entered our hearts and lives in a way that is indeed miraculous. I like the word certainty because up until then I had faith that it would happen. I hoped that it would happen. Now I knew it was real. That's a big difference in having faith. It's certainty. Certainty. And we got to remember that. Stay with certainty. No matter what is in front of you that looks like it's not right, you have the certainty that it is. And that is how you see it. The certainty comes from what you see with your own eyes. And so the maintenance of this spiritual condition is essential. Otherwise, it starts to fade again. It starts to go back to the vision of self-centeredness. And then things don't look fair. And they don't look right. And it doesn't look like there's a God. And we begin to doubt. And we begin to wonder. And so we go talk to our sponsor. And he said, I don't think you're seeing things right. You see the difference? They don't concede that there's a problem. They don't concede that the world's unfair. They simply go, you're not looking at it right. Let's sit down and look at it together. You say this, yeah, but on the other hand, don't forget, that person's going through a divorce. How do you expect them to behave? And all they got over here. And then how about all those people that come up and shook your hand when you led the meeting and told you how wonderful you did? What do you mean you're not wonderful? What are you talking about? And when they get through, and I remember the first time my sponsor did it for me, I went, wow, if you look at it that way, it's not so bad. Did the situation change? No. Everything's identical. Everything is absolutely identical, but it looks different. How do you like that? It looks different. So we got to recognize it. And this is why when Tom goes to a prison and he spends 2 hours in there, you think he's going to be exhausted. When he comes out, he looks at the world and he goes, what a world. Am I right, Tom? What a world this is. His perspective is kept at the highest possible level. And service will keep raising it. But so will seeking, which I talked about last night. They both work together amazingly. As a matter of fact, when I look back on Bill Wilson's spiritual awakening, spiritual experience in Towns Hospital, which was obviously huge, it was such a displacement of his old personality into a new personality. I look back on that as having two parts, two energies together. One of them was complete freedom from the obsession to drink. And it just stayed there, and he might have thought about it and had a yearning here or there, but that freedom from his old way of perceiving alcohol was powerful and permanent. But the other half is the one I like to think about, because when you have these awakenings, you're going to see that it happens to you too. The experience of God is so wonderful, you are compelled to go show someone else how to do it. It's part of an awakening. We used to kid people up in D.C. when the treatment centers were all cranking up. When they had about 2 years, they'd go become alcohol counselors. I got to give it away. And then we'd go, 6 months, that'll go away. So relax. But that's why this energy that Bill got was so amazing. Not only the sobriety, but this, he couldn't help himself. He was driven to share this, as he said, with every alcoholic in the world. Every alcoholic in the world. And when he was dying, I'm sure he was going, what about those people over there? Tom was talking about them last night. What about these people who come to detox? And why would he do that? Because he can't not do that. He can't stop not wanting to give this away. It isn't that someone said, Tom, you'd be a better person if you did this. He can't stop doing it. He doesn't need anybody to tell him. And Bob, everybody who's here, they don't need to be told to do these things. They can't stop doing it. Now, that is a wonderful place to be in, is to have a message, a transformation, and then you just go out. So this is how AA grows. It can't stop but growing. Everybody here wants to have somebody to sponsor. Hope they don't dry up the supply out there. I don't think there's a chance that we're going to run out of new alcoholics. I don't think that's going to happen. Well, we could double the number we have now. We could have prohibition again. Anyway. So that awakening in Bill and in yourself is the singular event. That's the one when, after it happens, you know what was the other singular event? Your first drink. Your life was never the same after that first drink. It changed every priority you had. It changed every direction you were going to go in. It changed every value that you had. Boom. That's a singular moment. This is the second one. Well, the second one is the surrender. And this is the big one. When you see everything differently, and of course you want to maintain the power to see it that way. That's why it's so important to keep coming to meetings, seeking, service. All of these things are designed to keep this vision at that same level. You can call it the fourth dimension, whatever you want to call it. But as long as you have that, they won't be able to stop you from doing something in AA. I'll make coffee next month. Remember in the beginning, you go, could somebody please help with the coffee? You don't see any hands. Remember how the hands are all hiding, and part of you is going, raise your hand. No. Do you feel the struggle inside? There's something inside of you that wants to raise that hand. I do want to be. But the old way, no, I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to stay in here. Hasn't been broken yet. But after a while, you're going to find somebody is going to come up to you and go, Lorraine, you've been the coffee maker for 2 years. I don't want to give it up. Anybody had that happen? Some of my biggest resentments when I was told I couldn't make the coffee anymore. But I do such a good job. Everybody loves it. They're going to get out. Okay. Anyway, I don't think we can spend enough time talking about the power of this transformation and its essential role in all of AA. It is the ball of energy that just keeps AA blossoming with this energy that causes people to say it's a program of attraction. People are not attracted to philosophies. They sound good. But then when they look at the person, they go, yeah, it's a great philosophy, but it doesn't seem to be working. That is not the person I want to be. I love the ideas. They are cool. I love them. They're very wonderful. But they're not producing, you know, I wish you'd smile once in a while. I mean, I love the words. They're powerful. In AA, we don't have to talk. People just see us laughing over in the corner, and they see us coming over here. And, want some coffee? How you doing? You just look all around. You go, this crowd is on something. That's all I can say. This is not normal behavior. And then somebody gets up to talk, and they just got fired, and they have to sell their house, and they're coming down here, and they say, oh, Dan, life is wonderful. And you go, whoa. I was only able to do that on about the 14th drink. Was to go beyond my circumstances into a state of wonderfulness. So anyway, that's enough on that, the dynamic force that's contained in this step. And then it goes on to say that we carry this message. And I've already commented on that. The energy to carry it was given to you in that awakening. Up until then, you can do it, and it'll feel wonderful. And you'll be doing it because it was suggested. Our sponsor said, go over and help them. You can at least go pick them up and give them a ride to the meeting. Do all this. And then you will start enjoying doing it. But as you progress to this 12th step, this awakening level, there'll be no holding you back. You will be involved in as much as you can, and it won't be just in AA. You'll be being nice to people all over the place. You will be amazed when you go in to get your dry cleaning, and it's not ready, and you say to them, don't worry, I'll come back tomorrow. You're the only one that day that talks that way when their dry cleaning isn't ready. And that clerk is going to remember you forever. There's that nice lady who didn't yell at me when every other customer did. And there's those nice people who treated me as a waitress nicely when the cook screwed up the whole mess and they didn't take it out on me. I'm going to always want to wait on their table. I eat with a lot of AA people, and the waiters and waitresses want to wait on us. We don't spend the most money because we're not drinking, but they get treated. They get treated with the most respect. And if your group isn't like that, think about it. This is how you make amends to all the waiters and waitresses you mistreated in years past. And you ought to leave about 30% because you used to tip. You didn't even tip. You remember that? I don't know where I'm going. I guess I'm... I'll confess, the waiters union asked me to give it a minute. Give it a little plug. So I don't really have to say much more about that. You just won't be able to stop. The one comment I would make is make sure it is this message. Don't make up one. Don't change it. This message, these steps. Follow these directions. The big book is a treasure map. God is the treasure. You got to remember that. And I know there are people who believe all the answers are in there, but just think about this. Think about the first 40. They wrote the book, okay? It's been printed. Now they're distributing copies, and they're sitting around and they're going, you know, we got a problem up in Cincinnati. We're going to try to be starting a group up there, and they're starting an argument over this and that. And do you think one of them said, well, let's just look in the book and see what we should do? I'm just going to look in the book I wrote, and I'll see what I'm supposed to do up there. They didn't do that. They said, well, why don't we sit down and pray about it? And see if we get some guidance as to what we should do up in Cincinnati. Well, where'd they get that? They wrote it. This book, we realize we know only a little. We realize we know only a little. Where did all the rest? Next sentence. God will constantly disclose more to you and I. See to it that your relationship with the book is... Oh, no, it doesn't say that. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass. It's very important to know that the secret to everything is contact and service. Contact and service. Contact and service. So we get down now to practicing these principles in all our affairs. So I decide to have some fun because this is the type of people that we are. If we've been instructed to do something, we want specifics. Am I right or wrong? You want me to practice these principles, then what precisely are the principles that you want me to practice? Isn't it frustrating to not have a list of what these are? That's human nature. Well, haven't you been at meetings when somebody produced a list? This is the principle behind the first step, the second, the third, the fourth. Well, I said, out of fairness, if I'm going to be talking about this, I ought to at least show up with the list. And then we could all make copies, and we'll be all set. Okay? The problem was, there were people in Cincinnati that made a list. Old-timers, way back. Really familiar with the steps. And we could use that list. The problem is, people in Chicago also made a list using the best judgment that they had. And the two lists don't agree. And the people in Akron made a list. And the people in New York made a list. So I got very upset about all this, so I went on the internet before I came down here. And I Googled it, just to help you all out. What are the principles behind AA's 12 steps? You can go do this, you can go home and do it. So I went through the trouble of putting them down here for you. And there is one step where I have five. There's one step that we're all five agreed. Step 7 had to do with humility. But now let's look at 11. Here's the five official lists. Attunement, knowledge and awareness, spirituality, making contact, and unity. So if you want to know the principle behind the 11th step. Or the 12th step, service, service, and gratitude. 10th step, vigilance, acceptance, perseverance, maintenance, steadfast to purpose. I'm sorry. There is no list. You're going to have to practice these principles without being supplied a list. Well, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Well, you name a principle and I'll name the power behind it. How about forgiveness? Power behind that is God. How about acceptance? How do you accept? You ask God to help you accept. I could name them all. These steps have been called spiritual tools, but they're power tools. They have to be plugged in. You can't just... Did you ever take an electric carving knife and don't plug it in and try to cut with it? It'll screw up everything. And if you'd had to try to practice these things on your own, it's very difficult. So I'm going to try and make it simply that the spiritual principles are staying plugged into God and being guided. Asking God where I should go. This prison, go over here. Something will lead you. I know I'll be the treasurer and I'll take the money up there. Then follow that. That's a principle. The principles are, you can't live up to spiritual principles on your own. That's what Bill said in our literature. You could have philosophical and moral convictions galore, but you couldn't live up to them. That's what made you feel you were a bad person. You're not a bad person. You're a stupid person. You forgot to plug it in. I mean, come on. You ever have a computer guy come over to your house? I don't know what's wrong. I just this damn thing, and he goes, it's not plugged in. Oh. None of this works if you try to do it on your own. So there's the overarching principle of everything. You just can't get this done on your own. You can't see correctly on your own. You want to run that by other people. When you come up with a, Bill writes, people of very high spiritual development always insist on checking with others the guidance they feel they got from God. Okay, that's people of very high spiritual development. I think possibly we should also check with others on any guidance, on any thought that comes into our minds. You're at work, and you look over, and there's that young secretary from Costa Rica over there who said you might like to have a tour of Costa Rica. And you go, you know, I think a good plan for me, I'm 55. I've seen everything there is about married life. I think Costa Rica with the secretary would add a lot to my spiritual perspective on the world. Now, you know, if you run that by your sponsor, you might not get total agreement with that plan. Or if you pray about it, you might not get total agreement with that plan. So I'm just trying to point out that on our own, our thinking needs help. That's all I would say. Sometimes it might actually be good, but there's no way of knowing until you run it by someone else. How do I know God's will? Ask your friend. Do you think it's God's will for me to? You're going to get a long way closer to seeing if it is or not than thinking about it. The worst thing to do is think about it. Well, I'll go think about it. Don't think about it. Thinking makes it worse. All problems are created by thinking. They do not exist until you think. They are just events. There are events going on. Pick up any newspaper and look, and there's probably 400 events that are in that newspaper. And you go, oh, yeah, there's 1, 10, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. You found one problem in there after all, didn't you? Till you pointed to it, it was just a story. It was just an event. Now it's a problem. But the funny thing is, when somebody else reads the paper, they don't see that problem. They find one on the next page. Oh, I can't believe that. Bolivia's doing what? Holy cow. None of these things are problems until you think about them. And then decide that that shouldn't be happening. That's what a problem is. You impose your will on reality and demand that it change rather than changing your view of reality so that nothing needs to be changed. This is the superior solution. Reality won't change. You ever try to change people? Well, if you would just do that and you would just do that and you. And so our job is quite simple. And we hate simplicity. We hate it. We hate. Just think when they say that you come in here and you say, okay, here's the deal. Don't drink. Yes? I just went through the whole thing. I'm getting fired, divorced. And yeah, just don't drink. Okay, next, let's go. And you go, you didn't listen to me. You wouldn't give me an answer that simple if you paid attention. And yet simplicity is the essence of all spirituality. It is the reduction of complex issues into trust God. Dr. Bob, here he is. His whole life, he's dying and says, love and service.
Yeah.
And we go, isn't that cute what he said? Now let's get back to the real world where it's much more complicated than that. Don't tell me the answer is love and service. I've got more complicated problems and I blah, 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 blah. And then, so you start down the spiritual path. And then we start ripping you apart and we get rid of old ideas and we change your vision. And now you're 70. Janet, what advice would you give for the rest of us? Love and service. I got to stop here shortly. I'm having too much fun, but this is, I'll give you an example of it. If you're sponsoring people and they're just not getting it, I have a way of describing what's going on. And they finally get frustrated. They go off and get another sponsor or drink or do something. And this is my assessment. They simply got sick and tired of not following the same advice. Whenever they came to me, they heard the same thing. And they knew it didn't apply to their problems. It was too simple. So they're going to go find somebody more complicated who will pay attention. We get tired of not following the same advice. Why don't we embrace the simplicity and stop trying to find something more complicated? Love and service. Are there any questions? Thank you very much.